I figured out who the neighbor around the corner is.
Oh, yeah?
I like him a lot.
Ooh.
He lets me talk as much as I want, is very simple, and has great plans.
Okay, I have to meet him.
Sure. Say hi. This is Metro PCS.
Metro PCS is in your neighborhood. Come say hi and get unlimited data, talk, and text for only $30, period. All on the fast nationwide 4G LTE T-Mobile network. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. 1 gigabyte of high-speed data included. See store for details, terms, and conditions, and data management info.
Log Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Oh, crap. Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on? Welcome to a new episode of the Football Jones. Sorry for the stumble. I was thinking about something else, but I am back. This is your host, Arden Sports Talk here. This is the Football Jones. We have a special edition going on because of the fact this is my NFL preview special. That's right. We're live on the air. Sucks when you mess up like I did or like I did just now. The beginning of the show, but it's all good because I will recover, be better than ever. And once again, folks, I'm live on the air. And consider this, we are 2 days away from the start of another wonderful and successful NFL regular season 2016 edition. Now, there's going to be a lot I'm going to touch on in the next hour. Of course, I'm going to talk about certain divisions. Of course, I'm going to talk about certain storylines that are going to take place entering this season and, of course, over the course of this season. And I have my week one picks that I actually would like to share with you guys. But I'm very excited because I have a special guest joining us on today's show. She should be calling in within the next 10 minutes. If you're a football fan and you happen to be on Twitter, you definitely know of her. You know of her, you know, her brutally honest opinions of the game of football, and, you know, people definitely have mixed feelings about her. But I feel as if she is a very good person. I really enjoy her sports opinions. I think she is indeed a good sports mind. Not to mention, I had the opportunity to meet her a few months ago at another podcast show. I actually was able to meet her at Tag Stone show. If you don't know who Tag Stone is, if you like hip-hop and you like honesty, you know, in terms of people's lives, I recommend you check him out, Tag Stone, in his show, Tag Season. And I had the chance to meet her after the show because she was the co-host of that show. And she was pretty cool, and she responded back. I'm talking about Miko Grimes. She should be on the air with us at any moment within the next 10 minutes. And it's going to be a good interview, you know. And like I said for myself, there's a lot of things we're going to touch on over this next hour. Regarding to the Football Jones, you know, it's not just about all regular season stuff. I have some fantasy football advice. I also want to talk to you guys, too, and I might as well do this right here, right now. I want to talk to you guys about Madden 17. You know, I'm an avid Madden gamer, and if you actually listen to any of the prior episodes of the Football Jones, I think it might have been my first one that I did back home when I got home from camp. I actually interviewed the lead commentator from Madden 17, Brandon Gauden. I had the chance to interview him. And let me just say, you know, I was already excited about the new commentary team for Madden 17, you know, with Gauden and Davis replacing Nance and Sims. But I'm really, really happy with how it turned out. I think they've done a really good job. I love the fact that we now have, you know, when we play exhibition mode, we have the new commentary updates, which means for every game we play every week, you know, regardless of the teams, there's going to be new commentary fed into the game. Consider it this way. Basically what NBA 2K has done, you know, when you get to play 2K today, right, when you could play with, like, the Hornets and the Pelicans, and it's, like, December 25th, right, and the commentary with the updates are able to provide you with information from real life into the video game. That's basically the case with Madden 17. And, you know, they were able to do that during the preseason. So I'm playing Colts versus, I don't know, Redskins, and I'm hearing things that I've heard throughout the preseason for the Colts Redskins game in Madden. So I really enjoy that aspect of the game, and I really love franchise mode. I really love franchise mode. I'm a franchise mode guy for any games, for Madden, 2K, FIFA, MLB The Show, NHL. You name it, I usually go straight into franchise mode because I like running teams. I know for these games these days, you can basically have the option of being a player. You can be a coach. I like being the owner. You know, I like adjusting ticket prices. You know, I like firing coaches or, you know, trying to build a franchise. So I like doing that. And franchise mode in Madden 17 is incredible. The fact that they added practice squad players has really added a different dynamic to the game. It really has, because it makes it easier, especially if you're somebody who really plays franchise mode. Like, instead of you being a type that sims through preseason or maybe, you know, just go straight to regular season, if you really, like, actually take part in preseason, you know, you actually, you know, cut players or you sign players and, you know, you try to take care of your team, you'll really like the practice squad and what they can do with that turn. If you be able to sign guys to your practice squad, bring guys up. The fact that other teams actually do sign people away from your practice squad, I actually had that happen to me in 2017 in my franchise mode with the Colts. I had like 2-3 guys that were like rated between 72 and 76 that I had on my practice squad because I didn't want to cut them because I knew I could bring them up during at some point of the regular season, and they got signed away from me, you know. I had the, you know, the little notification that said, you know, Hassan Ridgeway was signed by the Patriots, you know, off your practice squad. So it's really dope, you know, the training aspect. You really got to take practice seriously. Like, even if you sim through practice, like, you got to do it every week. And when it comes to the gameplay, because that is what really determines anybody's opinion of Madden, or if you really like the gameplay or not. I think the gameplay this year was just as good as last year. I think some things are a little harder, like the run defense for Madden 17 is harder. And then I realized why it is harder, because each year they continue to make you play Madden as if you're playing real-life football. So it's no longer about, you know, well, let me control my guy this way and hope I can get in a certain way or whatever way. Like, you got to understand gaps. You know, you got to understand what's the A gap, what's the B gap. You got to understand timing it. You got to understand your tackling angle and stuff, because trust me, I've given up quite a few long touchdowns in Madden 17 that I wasn't giving up in Madden 16. You understand? Because I'm taking the wrong angles or I'm pressing the tackle button early and then dudes are out here getting 80 to 85 yard touchdowns on me. You know, your defensive line getting off the snap quick enough. But it's realistic. It's realistic, and you're, even though it's absurd because you're like, dude, you're playing a video game. Why are you playing it like it's a real-life football game? Because that's the purpose of these video games, especially when it's sports. It should be a few specks of realism in a video game, even though we know it's a video game. But I say that to say this. I really enjoy Madden 17. I've been playing it daily. Even when I get NBA 2K17, I won't go to it right away. Like, I might play it for a little bit just so I can get to my career mode started. And that looks dope, by the way, but I'll talk about that on the basketball podcast, not the football podcast. Why? Because it's very simple. I am a respectful human being. But, but like I was saying, you know, I think the gameplay isn't, you know, again, it's good. The commentary's awesome. The graphics look great. And let me give you a piece of advice, too, before we move on. And, you know, I anticipate my guest should be on the lines waiting to join us at any moment now. For those that complain about Madden every year, let's face the facts. If you're somebody that complains about Madden all the time, you, my friend, cannot play Madden. Because everybody I know that knows how to play Madden don't complain about Madden. You must be trash on them sticks if you complain about the game. Because people be like, oh, man, why is it this or that every year, every single time? Just face it. You struggling with the game. You're not good. You're trash. So you want to blame Madden. No. I haven't blamed Madden since. Matter of fact, I never blamed Madden. Never. Never. And I've been playing Madden since 03. You know, when I think about some early covers, with, you know, Ray Lewis, Donovan McNabb, Sean Alexander, Vince Young, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been played Madden, you know, when Vic was on the cover as the Atlanta Falcon. Yeah, I don't know about that. Some of y'all may know, but mostly I don't know because you can't play it. But I enjoy Madden. I really do. You know, fantasy football, too. I did a trade this morning. You know, I feel like, personally, all the teams that I've created from the start of my fantasy football year, going back to August, I feel like they're good teams. I feel like they're good teams. But one of those teams, I was entered in a league, in a family league, that, you know, I wasn't expected to be put in this league. But, you know, it was in a family league with this family that I worked with all these years as a babysitter and stuff. Salute to the Steins. Hope Texas is treating you well. They're like family to me, so they put me in the league because they look at me like family, and I look at them like family. And a team was made for me, but I had to do, you know, some overhaul of the team. You know what I'm saying? I had to do an overhaul of the team. But for my main team, that's for my camp league, Brent Lake Camp, BLC, I really needed to upgrade my, what you call it, I really needed to upgrade my flex position for this fantasy team. So I'm going around the league texting people because we have campers and counselors in the league. Like, look, guys, I need to address my flex position, and I'm willing to trade you 2 to 3 players for this guy. A couple of people said no, but this morning I finally did the trade, and I'm a little sick. I'm going to do this trade, but let me say this quickly because I see our guest is on the air. Look, I had Josh Gordon stashed on my bench, okay? Because you know why? Because Josh Gordon, even though he has a lot of bust potential, he has a lot of boom potential, okay? But I really need to upgrade my flex. And after I thought about it, I realized that, you know what, I think it's a good deal for me. So all I had to do with another team in my league, I had to trade away Josh Gordon. And in return, I got Jeremy Maclin, a 1,000-yard receiver from Kansas City, and I got Amir Abdullah. So Macklin's in my flex. But now our guest is on the air. Like I told you guys before, she's somebody I had the opportunity to meet after Taxstone show in March in New York City. She was very nice. She is someone who, again, if you're a football fan, her opinion could, you know, rub you the wrong way or enlighten you. It certainly enlightens me. I really respect her opinion, her sports opinion. She's the wife of Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback Brett Grimes. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Miko Grimes on the show. How's everything, Miko?
Hey, what's going on?
Everything's good. How about yourself? Yep, I hear you.
I'm good. Can't complain. This weather would clear up, I'd feel a lot better, but...
Nice, I hear you on that. We're about to have a couple of really hot days in New York. I think we're supposed to hit 90-plus in a couple of days.
It's just raining in Florida. It's annoying, but you still live in Florida, so you can't complain.
Absolutely, can't complain. Once again, folks, we have Miko Grimes on the air. You can follow her on Twitter and I believe Instagram too, at iHeartMiko. Her name is in the title above. Miko, quick question. Might as well start this off. How are you feeling entering this NFL season? What are certain things that you're looking for?
You were breaking up. Say it again.
I was saying is, what are certain things that you're looking for entering this NFL season?
I'm actually looking to – one of the teams I'm going to be watching the most actually is the Patriots because I've said this a lot, and I just want to see if it's true, and I feel like Belichick – like, obviously Tom Brady's, you know, probably – you know, arguably the best quarterback we've ever seen, but I also feel like a lot of that has to do with Belichick and the system that he runs. So I'm curious to see – how Garoppolo does the first 4 games in Tom Brady and Belichick's system. I just want to see if, because a lot of people always say, oh, it's the system. If you plug anybody in, you know, you can still be, you know, the great Patriots, you know, whether it's Tom or any quarterback, it's just a system. So I don't believe that, but I do believe the system is also amazing, but it's more amazing because Tom Brady's throwing the ball around. But I just want to see if they, how they do in those first 4 games without him. So I'm going to be watching them really close.
You know, I definitely can't blame you for feeling that way. You know, some people who do say that, you know, depending on how long they've been watching football, they're also referring to the fact that, you know, the season Tom Brady missed with the torn ACL in 2008, Matt Castle came in. had a pretty decent season, and that resulted in him getting some extra paychecks. And I also think part of it, too, is also just seeing what type of role that, you know, they're going to have Jimmy G in as either as a game manager or if they feel comfortable with him throwing the ball a lot and things of that nature. So I really can't wait to see that as well. Outside of the Patriots, whether it's in the AFC or the NFC, is there a player or another team that you also want to see too? Maybe somebody that you have some thoughts about or somebody who you can hope can validate your opinion of them?
Carr, the quarterback for the Raiders.
Derek Carr.
I like
Carr.
Him a lot.
Good choice.
Derek Carr, first time seeing him was in London a couple of years ago. We played against them, and I think it was his rookie year. And even though we kind of smacked them, I saw a lot of potential in him, and I talked about it then. Of course, nobody was listening. But I talked about him being one of the, you know, I put quarterbacks in the league. Like, there's a top five, and there's a middle, and then there's, you know, the people at the bottom that, you know, never get any conversation. And I said that he'd be in that middle really quickly. I feel like he's already there. He's already in the middle pack, just the little things that he's done so far. So I just want to see him grow another year. And, I like him. I like him. I like Jameis Winston, of course. I was a fan of Jameis when he was at Florida State. And seeing his rookie year, and he had some rookie bumps, but he also had some great moments last year as well. So I want to see how he turns out year two. I don't know what's happening with Romo. I only talk about quarterbacks, honestly, because that's really the most important position.
Mm-hmm.
People, but the quarterback is really where you win and lose your game. And so I'm going to be watching the Cowboys because I want to see what Dak Prescott's going to do. They're going to, you know, keep him as a starter. They're holding out saying what the situation is with Romo, but I believe he's probably going to be out for a while. Really just looking at a lot of the young quarterbacks that are coming up right now and potentially taking over the league in the next 5 years. So I'm excited about the new quarterback.
I'm a huge Colts fan, so got to ask you, what do you think about my boy Andrew Luck?
Oh, man. I talked to I ain't going to say who I talked to. I talked to some coaches in Indianapolis, and, you know, I asked if Luck was, you know, was last year just injury, you know, because I wasn't used to seeing him look bad like he did last year. And I've been told that he's healthy and that he's looking like Andrew Luck from before. So that's going to be exciting. I mean, I know that Jacksonville and Blake Bortles have plans of taking that division, but with a healthy Andrew Luck, that he owns that division. So it will be interesting to see how he does coming back off of what, you know, everyone said was a rough year for him. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, like, it really was. You're absolutely right. You know, I think the health issues are definitely a problem, but also, you know, his gunslinger mentality. You know, I think you probably heard of the term before, especially describing Luck or any other quarterback who's mobile and likes to, you know, really get after defenders. It's like he's a linebacker playing quarterback. And so far this preseason, he's been a lot smarter.
Yeah. Well, you know, once you get hit, you know, the way he's gotten hit, and it was like a rib injury or something like that, and you see him play through that, like he tried to play through it. You know, I give him so much credit for that because that's tough to not have, you know, a decent offensive line and have a rib injury and have that fear of somebody hitting you again. And he tried to play through it, so his toughness is never going to be in question. And, you know, he's aggressive. You know, I love aggressive quarterbacks. I love quarterbacks that aren't afraid to make mistakes because – that's how you win games. You have to challenge the defense, and we all know the defense is already handicapped with the way this league is ran. He challenges the defense well and is very aggressive, so I'm excited about him as well.
Nico, when did, you know, I guess all of us, we all say the same thing, especially when we've been following the game for a long time, but when did you really start, you know, following football, and what was it exactly that really just made you, you know, stick with the game and really get into it more and more, besides the obvious reason of, you know, of your relationship and then marriage to, you know, Brent?
I started watching football when I was probably about 10 years old. my uncle. I have a great uncle whose jersey's retired with the Denver Broncos. And so football has been a big part of my family growing up, and I used to watch with my uncle. His name's Haven Moses. And so as a young girl, I was always a tomboy. I was very aggressive. And, you know, I always wanted to play football because I just thought, you know, I was tough enough, you know. And once I started sitting down watching the game with other, you know, adult males that played football, that, you know, listening to them break down, you know, plays and things that happened, I knew that it was completely different than basketball, which is my sport. And it was just something that I was very intrigued by, and just there's so many technical details to it. You know, in basketball, you can have one or two guys and the rest of the team be just average, regular, you know, people. And you know, you can go out and kill somebody. But in football, you can have a whole bunch of really good players, but if your quarterback's not good and you don't have a good scheme, you get killed. You know, so I just was, it was very interesting to see how coaching plays a larger role in a sport. Because in basketball, granted, coaching is really more about, you know, specific plays and specific instances, but in football, it's like a big part of it. And if you have good coaching, you can actually beat a team that's better than you on paper, you know. So I just really love the different ways that you can win in football as opposed to basketball. You just come out and really, whoever's the better player, whoever's getting buckets, is probably going to win the game. You know, but in football, coaching scheme change can, you know, change a win or a loss. And, you know, just an exciting game, you know. A lot of big plays and you know, you could really not be winning a game but have more explosive plays than the other team, or have more than one turnover or something like that in a game. Like, just little things like that take place during the game, and it changes the whole dynamic. So it was just really intriguing to me. And as a young girl, I got it. I picked it up really fast, and I really loved it. So I never let the game go. Even though I picked play, I just, you know, talked about it and, you know, tried to make it a career choice to talk about sports. You know, and I did this before I met my husband. I don't know why people think that I suddenly learned about football when I was married to Brent Grimes, when I was on the radio analyzing football in 2006 in Atlanta. I didn't even know Brent Grimes existed at that time. So quite interesting how people say things that they have no because they read it. And so, oh, wait, can I cuss on here?
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Probably should have asked that first. But, you know, it's just interesting to hear people say things about me and my career and what I've done with my career and my life that they have no clue about, you know. So thank you for asking me that, because a lot of people think I just, boom, I married Brent Grimes, and suddenly I was like, ooh, teach me about football. Like, no. I came into the marriage, we were educating each other about football, so pretty cool.
Of course, I had to, because the thing is, it's, you know, just following you for a while, also knew that you was the anchor and that you always been, you know, an athlete. And you spoke about, you know, the quarterback position. We spoke about that. And, you know, you mentioned Brent. Brent plays a position, too, that is often up for discussion a lot, and that's the cornerback position.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We always hear the names of the top guys every year. And personally, I always felt, not just saying it because you're on the air with me, I always felt like, you know, Brent has always been one of the better corners in the league. The dude is, you know, can be a lockdown defender. He makes plays. He's consistent. You know, what do you see from Brent when you see him out there playing in terms of his status in the cornerback position? Because that's turning into a premium position as well. Like, teams around the league are like, man, we need corners. And my Colts certainly need corners. And I also tell you this, I was attacking your mansions every day during free agency because I wanted Brent Bradley in Indianapolis to play Vontae. I'm being completely honest with you.
Well, I'm glad you asked me this, because this is something that, you know, I try to discuss on Twitter, but, you know, it's a lot of idiots that don't really know football that are talking about football. And believe it or not, a lot of the idiots have a microphone hooked to their fucking tie, and they're on TV. So let me break down the cornerback position real quick. The cornerback position is obviously here, and it's at its all-time worst right now, in my opinion, because back in the day, you could have what you would consider a shutdown corner, because corner was able to touch you, put his hands on you the whole route, bump you. You know, they didn't allow the receiver to push off. you know, like they do. And now, after 5 yards, if you just barely touch, graze, scrape, look like you might have touched the receiver, it's a flag. Whereas the receiver can push you as many times. He can push you to get out of his break. He can push you to get into a break. He can push you when the ball's in the air. But if you touch him, it's a flag. So you're pretty much asking for superheroes at the cornerback position right now, because when you think about it, the wide receivers are some of the fastest players on the team. So you got this fast, big, strong-ass motherfucker coming out of corner who can't touch him. And it's almost like in basketball, if you ask a player on defense, don't let LeBron James catch the ball. Nowhere on the court. He cannot touch it. He can't catch it at all. You got to play denial defense. If you're asking a cornerback to play that on a field that I think is about, what is it, 45 feet across or something? Like, that's a lot of space to cover. And then, not only that, the receiver and the quarterback have a plan. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what route they're running. So they know where they're going. The quarterback knows where he wants to throw the ball, because the corner can only be on one side or the other. And so then you're asking the corner to make a play on the ball, to not let him catch. Okay, for anyone, isn't I constantly say that LeBron is the best quarterback is because in his 30s, off of a ruptured Achilles, Brent Grimes picked up the number one cornerback of every team that he faced. Win, lose, or draw, okay? You haven't seen a corner do that since Darrell Reeves back when he was with the Jets, when he was Darrell Reeves. So, for me to watch a corner, and I don't care that he's my husband, for me to know, game in and game out, if there's a receiver on the other team that is anywhere in the top 15, Brent Grimes is going to pick him up man-to-man the entire game. Sometimes with the safety hit, a lot of times without. And the fact that he had, in 3 years, there's only two games people continually talk about. It's a Jets game, and then there's a Bills game. For him to have two games where people continually talk about it in 3 years, those are the only two games that they can bring up. In 2013, he didn't get a single touchdown scored to him the whole season. No one scored a touchdown on him, okay? It was in his 30s off of ruptured Achilles. In 2014, he didn't shut down the end zone, but he had an even crazier year. Okay, both of these years total 9 interceptions, playing man-to-man coverage on the receivers in the NFL, had 9 interceptions and averaging about 20 pass deflections a season. What the hell else do people want to see? You're not seeing that from Richard Sherman. He is not picking nobody up the whole game. You're not seeing that from Patrick Peterson, although he did it more than anybody else. You did not see that from Josh Norman at all. You saw an amazing defense. In all honesty, I do think Josh Norman is still a really good player. But when you have the D-line and the linebackers they have, that corner playing cover three, you don't really have that much work to do. All you got to do is not get beat deep, and you're good. That's a great scheme, by the way. The Seattle Seahawks and the Carolina Panthers defense scheme is incredible. I don't know why every team doesn't play. It's because you don't have the players they have. You don't have the fucking D-line. You don't have the linebackers. And Seattle's weakness is, in my opinion, is probably the corners. The corners are the weakest players on the Seattle defense. And in Carolina, the safeties are the weakest position in their whole defense. But it doesn't matter when you have all those other dope players everywhere else. And I'm not shading these corners. I'm not. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying they're bums or nothing like that. I'm saying if you put Richard Sherman, Darrell Revis, Josh Norman, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., who I do think is dope, if you put them on the Dolphins in place of Brent Grimes, I guarantee you they don't have the season yet. I guarantee you they don't. If you put Brent Grimes on any of those teams, I guarantee you those teams are better. Better with him. That's why I say Brent Grimes is the best corner in the league. Is he going to get balls caught on? Hell yeah. Who isn't? Are people going to score touchdowns? Hell yeah. But what you're not going to do is all season run up and down him and disrespect him because he's a really, really good athlete, and there's not another corner in the NFL like Brent Grimes. You can ask around the league. Everybody will tell you Brent Grimes is elite. He's special. He's different. That's why I say he's the best corner. And so I see somebody else that can pick somebody up full court the whole year and have a pretty good season and still go to the Pro Bowl and still be all pro, then I'll say somebody's better than Brent Grimes.
Hey, that was a tremendous case that you made, you know, the gems that you dropped, and that's why I'll say it again. I was adding you every day during free agency because I wanted Brent and Indianapolis to play with Vontae. Because now we got corners out. We got Cromartie. I mean, no disrespect to Cromartie. Hobie Ball's out, even though they gave him number 34. That's not good. That's Trent Richardson's old number. But that's why I wanted Brent. And you're right. They keep bringing up these two, three games, whatever, where he gives up, like, a random big play. The guy can play ball. He's legit. He's big time.
Yeah.
And, hey, that's like what I said before. I wanted him there. I saw it. I was like, Lord, if the price tag is right, just bring him on because we really needed it. But you know what? Tampa Bay, they're very fortunate to have your husband because he's big time and he gets to, you know, teach and, you know, also watch
right.
The rookie Vernon Hargraves play, and he's big time too. I had him actually going 11th in the draft. I think that's where Tampa Bay got him. But before I let you go, you know, you've done so much in the realm of sports, you know, playing it, covering it, talking about it, and, you know, there's a lot going on in the NFL, of course, business-wise, a lot of stuff always going on. Of course, we've got the Colin Kaepernick situation. When you look at
right.
how the NFL and its fans reacted to Colin Kaepernick, and you just see everything, especially from what you know, because you've been inside and you know. Before we let you go, please explain how you feel about that. And what does that tell you again, or what does that confirm? Because you said a lot of things. Sorry to cut you off. You said a lot of things about the league, and to your credit, you have been right. And you have been willing to speak and live by what you say, whether you're right or wrong.
Well, this is what people need to understand about me. I don't have an agenda when I talk about football. Let me take that back. My agenda is the truth. There's nothing wrong with the truth. And the truth of the matter is this. The NFL doesn't care about football players. They don't care about their family members. They don't care about anything outside of making money. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you not giving a shit. I just get mad when they act like they give a shit. They act like they care about women and domestic violence. And we all know that the suspension, you get one game suspension up until these new rules that they made after Ray Rice, which is some fucking bullshit. And I'm not saying that Ray Rice is this perfect human being. What I'm saying is everyone else gets one game suspension for beating the shit out of their wife. Okay? This is what the history has shown. I have multiple friends in the NFL who've gotten beaten by their husbands, and there's been a one-game suspension that has been swept under the rug, and you keep it moving. Because if you continue to report your husband beating you, they say things like, well, if you keep on reporting, he's going to lose his job, and how are you guys going to pay your bills? These things are being said, okay? These things are happening. They do not care about it. What they also don't care about are veterans, okay, or the military. The NFL was making – there was 14 teams in the league. If you listen to my podcast, I'm sitting with Cap. There were 14 teams in the league out of the 32 that was paying the NFL, and I think it ended up being something like $5.4 million to that salute to the hometown heroes, you know, around second quarter where we all stand up and there's some hometown heroes
yep.
that we're saluting and they went to war. Those are paid for by our Defense Department. They were not free. The NFL made – the Defense Department pay for those tributes to the military and the veterans, okay? They don't give a shit about veterans. Then when somebody exposed them for it, then they started to say, well, we're going to pay the money back now. Well, why are you paying it back? Why did you even ask for it to begin with? You know, so when you see somebody like Colin Kaepernick sitting in protest for the police brutality and oppression and all the things that are happening to Black and brown people in America, and then you see society take some type of offense to it, saying that he's disrespecting the military and veterans, I find that quite fucking shady that none of these people care that the NFL was making the Defense Department pay to salute these veterans. Like, what is the NFL doing for veterans? Not a goddamn thing. Nothing. They'll do anything for them. Okay? And then on top of it, the NFL, did you know that the Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October, where everybody wears all this pink and you buy all this pink shit to support breast cancer? Well, guess how much of the money the NFL gives to the breast cancer side? 2%. 2% of all that apparel that you buy that's pink, that you really think that you're giving all this money to people with cancer to help, they're giving 2% and pocketing the rest. They don't give a shit about anybody. So why the hell should an athlete give a shit about taking a stand at their job? This is my job. If I had a job where I worked at the radio station, and before I started my job, they played the national anthem, and I'm in protest of the way this country is treating people that look just like me, then I would sit down as well. He doesn't hear the national anthem. He's not asked to salute the flag anywhere else except at his job. So how else is he supposed to say to you guys, I don't respect this country and what's going on with it? Should he do it at the grocery store? Should he do it at the mall? Do they play it when you walk into the movie theater? Before you watch a movie, do they play it? No, they do not. So if you want to take a stand and you want to leave this country better than it was or make an impact, you have to do things that shake and wake the world up. And that's what Colin Kaepernick is doing. He has basically put himself on a guillotine and said, I'm willing to risk losing everything to stand up for what I believe is right. Every athlete in America knows that the majority of the athletes in the NFL and the NBA are African American, black, whatever you want to call it, okay? We pretty much dominate these two sports. And the fact that there are other athletes standing up with him and showing him support and saying, you're right, there is a problem. That's really what the issue is. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with the fact that a lot of athletes aren't even standing with him and saying, we're with you. We will sit and protest with you because some things need to be done. And everybody's losing the message. The message is this. Black people are getting killed, are getting jailed and arrested at an alarming rate for no fucking reason at all. Okay? There are false police reports being written. And then when you look back and find out somebody recorded the incident, then the police officer can just get out of it? Like, well, how do they just get out of it? Just filing a false police report should be, at bare minimum, fired. You should be fired for filing a false police report. I don't give a fuck what really happened. If you sit there, you and your partners, write down a whole bunch of bullshit that never happened, and then there's some surveillance footage that comes out that proves you lied, you should go directly to jail or, at the bare least, be fired. These things aren't happening. There is people poisoning black communities. Look at Flint, Michigan. The fucking governor fucking is polluting an entire urban community, and he still has his job. What would happen if ISIS came over here and started polluting the water? We found out it was ISIS people doing this. What would happen? Well, we would go over there trying to kill somebody. You know what I'm saying? But because it's some white man and he's a governor and he's protected by all these same shields that a lot of white people are protected by, it seems to me like slavery still exists. No, we're not picking cotton anymore, but we damn sure is filling up the jails, making billions of dollars for them. That's equivalent to picking motherfucking cotton, if you ask me. So some things need to change, and people are missing the message, and I'm going to sit with him until I see change as well.
Miko, I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you so much for this interview. I really, really appreciate it. I've been planning it for a while. You know, my mentions are filling up. People are hitting me up that are listening to the show. They really enjoyed your interview. Thank you so much, Miko. All I can say to you
is,
one, Black Lives Matter, no problem. And two, never change, all right? Never, never change. I know you don't plan on changing, but still, never change. Never change.
You
keep up the great work.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye. Remember, folks, you can follow Miko on Twitter and on Instagram, I believe, at iHeartMiko. You can find it right in the title above. Woo! That interview was fire. A lot of gems, a lot of honesty, everything that I was hoping for interview with Meiko Grimes. We're just going to take a little short break, something around 40 seconds before I go back in to finish the rest of the show strong. Let's talk about some divisions. I want to talk about the AFC East, probably even the AFC North, and then, of course, share my week one picks. This is the Football Jones. Football is finally back, you bums. Like I told you guys, we are back from the quick break. Our interview with Meiko Jones, with Meiko Grimes. How did I say Meiko Jones? I was just looking at a football player with the last name Jones, and then I was about to talk about Meiko. Sorry about that. That's why your mind's going crazy and you're trying to get to the next topic. Our interview with Meiko Grimes, incredible for a good half an hour, you know. And regardless of what you think of her, I just hope that you take away from the interview just an honest opinion. I mean, we're all allowed to have an honest opinion, you know. We're all allowed to express how we feel, and that was definitely the case with Meiko, so thank you once again. Like I told you guys before the break, let's talk about some divisions, all right? We got the AFC and then the NFC. And when I think about interesting division play for this upcoming season, I don't know why I'm doing this to myself because it could be the same darn thing at the end, but let's talk about the AFC East. Patriots, Bills, Jets, Dolphins. Of course, we know about Patriots quarterback Tom Brady being suspended for 4 games for Deflategate, and rightfully so in my honest opinion. But still, does that mean that things open up for the AFC East? Now, some people may say yes, some people may say no. Where do I stand? I will say no, because I believe the Patriots will still find a way to stay afloat. You know, again, Bill Belichick is still the head coach. Jimmy Garoppolo, even though he has to fill in some big shoes for 4 games, they will minimize his workload and allow him to be efficient instead of having to be very dominant. You have Julian Edelman there. You have Rob Gronkowski. They have those stable of running backs that any of them could just turn out for a big game. Now, I do expect, and I guess you could consider this one of my week one picks, I do expect Sunday night at Arizona for Jimmy G to be a rough one. I really do. But I think for the following 3 games, it should be a solid job well done for Jimmy G. I think the Patriots still win this division as long as they stay afloat and as long as they do what they have to do. And when I look at the other teams in this division, right, when I look at the Jets and the Bills, those two need to, in my opinion, they need to take advantage of the 4 games Brady is out. I think a hot start for them is very critical. I think 3-1, 4-0 would definitely put them in a position to where, even when Tom Brady comes back and even when the Patriots go on a run, by starting off 3-1, 4-0, you should be able to stay afloat just a little bit and hope that you can hold on. There are a lot of big-time situations going on for both the Jets and the Bills. You look at the Bills. Tyrod Taylor, their quarterback, got paid money in the offseason. We will see if he can live up to the hype. Rex Ryan, what can he do? He brought his brother along to Buffalo and Rob. What can they do together? And when you see the fact that this Bills team, you think about over 16 years, no playoff berth, okay? Over 16 years, no playoff berth. We're not talking over 16 years and no Super Bowl. We're talking over 16 years and not reaching the playoffs. Dell, Bills Mafia, when will this drought end? If there's any year, it will be this year. And when I look at the Jets, I see a team that, based off of last year, and based off expectations, I really don't think they could even have the excuse of still trying to rebuild or trying to tool around and get better. I look at this Jets team and go, look, You brought back Fitzpatrick on a deal, even though it's for 1 year, that could go up for as many as 15. And let's face it, if Fitzpatrick has another good year, okay, and the Jets have a winning record, the Jets have to bring this man back, point blank period, even if it's for another one-year deal. They have to bring him back, okay? You got Brandon Marshall, who was an absolute monster last year at receiver. You know you got Decker. They got the young receivers. You know what? The Jets, in all honesty, could really make a case for after next season, after this season, for really having maybe one of the best wide receiver corps in the league or a stellar group of young receivers. Because you look at this offense and you go, okay, there's some weapons there. Of course, I didn't mention them, but we should know by now Matt Forte is a New York Jet. And that defense should always be staying afloat. And I just look at this Jets team and I go, man, there's no excuse for if you decline. There's really not. I don't care what anybody says. I look at this Jets team and go, you somehow messed around and went 10-6 last year. Well, 10-6 or better needs to be the goal. That needs to be maintained. You know, there is no room for 9-7 or 8-8 or worse. 10-6, worse, or go up. You got to improve. You got to be big time. You know, because you really don't have the excuse for, well, you know, we exceeded expectations. The Jets already been missing the playoffs for already more than a few years. It's time to get back there. All right? And when I look at the Dolphins, I look at them as you just got to hope the young talent on that team can develop. You know, Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. When will he take the quote-unquote step? But they're going to be a last-place team. I mean, there's nothing really more to expect from that group other than spoil a couple of games in December, maybe October, but they're not going to do anything special. Another division that catches my attention in the AFC. Of course, people love to talk about the AFC North. You know, the Bengals, Browns, Steelers, and Ravens. You know, I personally believe the Bengals will win this division. Of course, they'll be close, competitive come December, but I really expect the Bengals to close it out. The AFC South, the division I feel as if can be home to the best young talent in the league. I think this division is basically up to Andrew Luck, my boy, my quarterback. That's my quarterback. I really feel if Andrew Luck's healthy, the Colts got the division in the bag. I'm just being honest. If Andrew Luck is healthy, the Colts got the division in the bag. Because you know when Andrew Luck's healthy, you know what he's certain. You know what he's certain of doing. You look at Blake Bortles, what he's entering 30 years, so you don't know what he can do. He could have a year where he regressed. Same thing with the other guys in Jacksonville for Allen Robinson and the Allen Hurns. Those guys can regress. You look at Tennessee, you know that they're not really competing for the division. They're too young. They're still not as talented. And then with Houston, they have the hope that their $72 million investment in Brock Osweiler can pay off. But I say that to say this. I think the AFC South is dependent on Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck is healthy, then without question, the Colts will win the division. I guarantee it. If Andrew Luck is healthy, I expect the Colts to win the division, no matter what any team does, because Andrew Luck is that good, and he's capable of just his presence alone winning 11 games. I mean, we saw that before the injury year last year, you know. But the division I really wanted to get to, because I think this division could be one of the most entertaining divisions or the most entertaining division to watch in football this year, I think it hands down has to be the AFC West. You know, you think about, okay, you got the Super Bowl champions, but the Super Bowl champions will be starting Trevor Siemian at quarterback. And then if it doesn't work with them, then they got to start their first-round rookie in Paxton Lynch. Remember, Peyton Manning retired in March. Rob Osweiler, who was expected to be the heir to Peyton and be the starting quarterback, he left to go to Houston. And then Mark Sanchez, who they traded and who appeared to be the starter, is cut, and now he's backing up Dak Prescott in Dallas. And speaking of Dak Prescott, for my fantasy football players, go ahead and pick him up just because. Keep him as a backup on your bench. Keep him for trade purposes. Or keep him just for the simple fact that that dude with the passing and rushing capabilities that he had could be a nice little 18 to 22-point scorer for you. But to get back to this division in the AFC West, when I look at this division, and again, talk about Denver, it's really about which team will step up and emerge as the next team to run the division. And a lot of people feel like that's going to be the Oakland Raiders. You know, Derek Carr, will this be the year that he continues to take another big step? And when it comes to the conversation of quarterbacks, you know, Amari Cooper following a stellar rookie year, Michael Crabtree, then you think, that defense that was just rebuilt and added pieces. You already had Khalil Mack, but then you decided to get Bruce Irvin, and then you decided to add these extra pieces. A lot of hype is surrounding the Raiders. A lot of hype is surrounding the Raiders, while the hype around the Chargers is about whether or not they're moving. That's just the honest truth of the matter. But, hey, congratulations. You know, they did re-sign Joey Bosa. About time. There's some bums who are making that just an unnecessary, messy situation. But they did it. They did it, you know. And let's go over to the NFC. That the division that I think in the NFC is really going to be, I guess, a lot of question lines might surprise you. I'm going NFC North. The reason why I would go with the NFC North is because the NFC North is really supposed to be the battle of the Packers led by Aaron Rodgers versus the Vikings with Teddy Bridgewater. Unfortunately, Teddy Bridgewater suffered a very, very serious knee injury. He's out for the season. But it's going to be interesting because can we see Sam Bradford versus Aaron Rodgers sometime in December for the NFC North title? Oh, my God. What is Bradford going to do in Minnesota, bro? Or assist. What is going to happen, Sway? Because that makes for very interesting television on a Fox 425 game. Hey, how's everything? This is Joe Buck with Troy Aikman, and we're here at Lambeau Field between the Packers and the Vikings. I don't know where that sounded like Joe Buck or Barack Obama, but still, that division has very interesting potential to it between the Packers and the Vikings. Maybe with the Lions. Again, Matt Stafford, quarterback of the Lions, he's a guy that has mixed reviews about him. People look at him as, oh, he's just this guy that just relies on his arm. He throws sidearm. And he had Calvin Johnson all these years to bail him out. Calvin Johnson's retired. He's not playing no more. Your best receivers, no disrespect, but still, best receivers, Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, Amir Abdullah in the backfield. You're hoping Eric Ebron can give you something at tight end. Can this be the year Stafford really shows us what's up? That it wasn't just about Megatron, that it was he too, that was big time and was able to help out? You look at the Bears. You know, not many people really expected much of the Bears. But, you know, Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White, can they be the beast at receiver, these 6'2", 6'3" monsters? Can Jay Cutler, don't laugh, but can Jay Cutler take advantage of that? Fair. Jeremy Langford, another name for his fantasy players to take advantage of. I have him on one of my teams. Will he be able to fill in the shoes of a Matt Forte? That's a lot to ask for, but it's fair, especially when fantasy implications are involved. Okay? The NFC West, Cardinals are definitely the favorite, but you also got to look at Seattle and go, ooh, they could be in it too. We know those two will go. What about the L.A. Rams, though? New city, but will they have new ways? New ways. Well, what's going on? We know Jared Goff, the number one overall pick from this year's draft, he's the third-string quarterback. Case Keenum started. Sean Mannion, who was, a fourth, fifth-round pick from the draft a year or two ago, he's the backup. Goff is a third-stringer. Can Jeff Fisher get out of the 7-9 doghouse? Remember what he said in the first episode of Hard Knocks? Look, guys, I'm not coming back to be a freaking 9-7, 7-19. He said that verbatim. He said it. Not in that voice, but he said it. We will see. We will see. Panthers switching up the game during the offseason. Franchise-tagging cornerback Josh Norman, been rescinding the offer. He goes to Washington. What will this team do? 14-2 last year? No, wait. 15-1 last year, losing the Super Bowl. You're coming back. You got Kelvin Benjamin rejoining that offense. Cam, it's very hard to be sidetracked, my brother, especially after a big year winning MVP. But will you prove, folks, wrong again, and you are ready to stay? It's been a long time since I said this, but I got to get back to saying it because football season's back. Ace Boogie! Ace Boogie, are you ready to prove them wrong again? Because people will be watching, and they'll be ready. that tear you down. People are already to tear you down, bro. You got your black fans ready to tear you down, making fun of you on Twitter. People already to tear you down from a football standpoint. They are ready. What are you going to do, brother? What are you going to do? The NFC East, it really doesn't interest me. It didn't even interest me months ago because I expect, and this is even before they got Josh Norman, I expect the Washington Redskins to repeat as division champions. I do. I look at the offense. They got my boy Josh Doctson from TCU. What? I expect Captain Kirk, I'm doing a salute right now, to Captain Kirk to come through. Defense. I already thought the defense was going to improve, but now you got Norman. And then you look at everybody else in the division. You look at the Giants. They should have, you know, pretty solid offense. But are you really sure about the defense? You look at the Cowboys, once again, quarterback problems. Well, as of now with Romo, Prescott could prove us wrong. But you look at that defense and go, will this defense bend more than it breaks? And then you already know with the Eagles going with Carson Wentz starting, which – it's crazy how the development of that happened because we went from expecting Wentz to not play the season or not play much of the season to where now he is the starting quarterback week one versus the Cleveland Browns. So I think this NFL season, just based off of what I've talked about with the division and what you may know of the divisions and what I may know of the divisions, it will make for really good football. It will make for really good football. It will make for really good storylines. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But before I let you go, I'm going to share with you my week one picks for this week, obviously. Dun, dun, dun. Obviously, it starts with the Thursday night game between the two teams that played in Super Bowl 50 in February, the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. I'm actually rolling with the Denver Broncos in this one. Now let's go to Sunday. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going with Atlanta for that first game. I think Atlanta could pull something off in terms of a home victory, maybe something to hype up the fans, and then, you know, they'll fall back to earth. And we got Bills-Ravens. Bills at Ravens. Ooh, that's a good matchup. But I'm rolling with the Bills, Team Tyrod. Then we got the Chicago Bears traveling to Houston, H-Town's finest. Why you got to fight with me at Cheesecake? You know I love the gold. I think Houston fans will be singing that after the game and once their team wins and beats the Bears. We got Bengals at Jets. I'm going with the Jets at home. Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, Magic Hands. Do what you got to do to get the dub, my man. I got Browns at Eagles. The Carson Wentz era versus the resurrection of RG3. But let me go with my main man, Carson Wentz. Now, we got the Green Bay Packers traveling to Jacksonville. Aaron Rodgers versus Blake Bortles, the present versus the future. And as a Colts fan, all I have to say is, let's go, Packers. Let's go, Pack. I'm going with the Packers. We got Vikings at Titans. That sucks because let's think about it, damn it. We could have Teddy Bridgewater versus Marcus Mariota for week one in Nashville. But I'm going still with the Vikings and victory. Not to mention, the Titans are AFC South opponent. We have Chargers at Chiefs. AFC West rivalry. I'm going with the Chiefs. We got Raiders at Saints. Ooh, Derek Carr versus Drew Brees in the dome. My boy Brian at Brian TNR. How's it looking like in New Orleans, bro? What is going down for that game? It's going to be a ton of points for that game. Let's guess, what is the under-over going to be for that game? What is it going to be? I'm going with the Raiders, though. We got Dolphins at Seahawks. That's easy. Give it to Seahawks. Giants at Cowboys. Eli versus Prescott. How's it going down? I'm going with a surprise pick. Give me the Cowboys. Hashtag Prescott. Lions at Colts. Colts Nation, we back. Colts, we need to win. Andrew Luck healthy. I think he's going to have a standout game for this one. Won't be surprised if the Lions beat us because our corners are trizzass because we don't have Vontae, but I'm going with the Colts. We got Patriots at Cardinals. The Jimmy G era will start with a loss. I kind of referenced it earlier. Give me the Cardinals. Then we got the Monday night games. We got the Monday night games. We got Steelers at Redskins. Give me the Redskins, Captain Kirk. And for the final game of week one, we have the Rams at the 49ers. And give me the Rams 24-17. And that is the Football Jones Episode 10, my NFL preview special. Thank you for listening. Sorry for the stumble in the beginning, but glad you enjoyed it. Happy that you listened. Please share. And let's enjoy the fact that football is back. Because in the words of Chris Jericho, drink it in, man. Thank you to Miko Grimes for joining us. I will be back next week, same day, talking football with you lovely folks. Remember, enjoy yourself, enjoy football. Most importantly, pay respect on September 11th for the victims over 15 years ago. I certainly will. You guys enjoy yourselves. Football, we back. Peace.
Did you know the flu shot takes up to 2 weeks to take effect? That's why I'm getting my flu shot now, so I can outsmart the flu before there's an outbreak. At Walgreens, your flu shot even helps give a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Get a shot, give a shot. Doubly smart. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2017, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Learn more at walgreens.com/get a shot. Vaccine restrictions apply.
I figured out who the neighbor around the corner is.
Oh, yeah?
I like him a lot.
Ooh.
He lets me talk as much as I want, is very simple, and has great plans.
Okay, I have to meet him.
Sure. Say hi. This is Metro PCS.
Metro PCS is in your neighborhood. Come say hi and get unlimited data, talk, and text for only $30, period. All on the fast nationwide 4G LTE T-Mobile network. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out. Coverage not available in some areas. 1 gigabyte of high-speed data included. See store for details, terms, and conditions, and data management info.